You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please stand and face the processional crucifix.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Lord, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Among the dead, alleluia. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading from the book of Job, chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And they said to them, "Do not be alarmed. And you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The irony of Easter is that the chief priests accepted the soldiers' report of Jesus' resurrection, but the disciples did not. The chief priests, who repeatedly rejected the claims of Jesus, gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." On the other hand, Luke records that these words seemed to the disciples an idle tale. They did not believe them. If the accounts of the resurrection were fabricated, as many claim today, the disciples would have believed and the high priests would not. Today we proclaim hymns of praise as we joyfully confess our own God-given faith in the risen Savior, concluding a series on the Lord's Prayer and his Passion. The close of the Lord's Prayer is, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." And while these words are not recorded in the early gospel accounts, they reflect one of the doxologies from the book of Revelation. "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." There's equally majestic phrases that Paul describes Christ's role after his ascension in Ephesians. "God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And time doesn't permit dealing with all the details in this grand summary, but we can detail a few. "All things under his feet" in verse 22 includes the seen and the unseen parts of creation. Astronomers continue to discover the world of planets and stars and nebula and whatever else is out there in the far more extensive than previous generations thought. It really doesn't seem to be an end. Year after year, objects farther and farther from Earth are discovered. Heavenly places also identifies paradise and even hell itself. There's no place where a kingdom other than Christ's exists. And all of this is comforting to us because Paul says that the Savior is head over all things to the church. In other words, he governs the world, the universe, for the well-being of the church, protecting all believers as he sees fit. Meanwhile, he himself prays for us before our Father. As it says in 1 John, "If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." On Easter morning, the silence of Holy Saturday gives way to a flurry of activities as the sun rises and God's power effects the miracle of the resurrection of a dead body. Now, with few exceptions, the power of God is dormant during the capture and the trials and the execution of Jesus Christ. Only in Gethsemane are there indications of where the real power lies. Jesus asked those who want to apprehend him, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. When Peter cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant, our Lord healed him. Even that show of mercy and power goes unheeded. Jesus rebuked his disciple, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and we heal well at once? Send me more than 12 legions of angels." However, the full power of Christ shines forth on Easter morning. An angel with the appearance of lightning rolled away the stone. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Matthew, Mark tell of an angel who spoke to the women when they came to the tomb, and Luke and John report two angels. However, Matthew and Mark do not say only one angel was there. And you know, like after church, if somebody asks who was there, a person will name a few friends known to both of you, but that doesn't mean that those persons were the only ones attending.
one example that the Bible is giving us and records faithfully the account of the resurrection of Christ so that we may believe and trust in these words. The importance of the resurrection cannot be overestimated. All Christianity rests on this foundation. Paul doesn't exaggerate. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It is necessary that we carefully examine the evidence regarding the absence of Jesus' body from the tomb. Both friends and foes agree that Christ predicted his own death. As it says in John, Jesus said, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." And friends and foes agree that Jesus died. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Both enemies and disciples agreed that Jesus' body was buried. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And then to keep everyone honest, the tomb had been sealed. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. On Easter, the soldiers and chief priests didn't question that the body was missing. Also, the women and the two disciples entered the tomb and saw for themselves that the body was gone. There are three conceivable ways by which the body of Jesus could be removed: by his enemies, by his friends, or by himself. If his enemies did it, they would have confronted his followers with the body, therefore demonstrating that Jesus was a fraud. They didn't. If, as the soldiers were told to say, his disciples removed the body, it would have been a rejection of their master. Not only that, they were too afraid to attempt entering the sealed and guarded tomb. And when Jesus was captured, they ran off. Peter even denied knowing Jesus 3 times. None of his disciples were with him during the trials before the Sanhedrin and Pilate. At his crucifixion, only John and a few women were at the foot of the cross. Even 3 days later, they met together, the doors being locked for fear of the Jews. In addition, at Passover, the crowds would be ever present in Jerusalem. The moon would be full, and it's highly unlikely that the entire Roman guard fell asleep at the same time. Sleeping on duty was punishable by death. There's no record of that penalty ever occurring. But finally, if the soldiers believed that the disciples stole the body, they would have tracked them down and brought them to trial. But perhaps the most remarkable evidence of the resurrection is the change in the disciples themselves, from cowardice and timidity to courage and boldness. The book of Acts records again and again how they confronted crowds with sharp accusations and a call to repent and believe. Quoting David, Peter announced in his Pentecost sermon, "He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." What kind of body did Jesus have after he rose from the dead? John informs us that the doors and walls didn't keep Christ outside the place where the frightened disciples had gathered. He showed them his scars, invited them to feel them. Then they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. This wasn't done for nourishment, but to establish the identity of the risen body, with the body slain on the cross. The church through the ages has called the resurrected body glorified, not bound by time and space. And beyond that, we cannot speculate about its nature. We can only with confidence say that our bodies will also be raised and glorified. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. All the tribulation, the trouble, the temptation that make the Lord's Prayer a daily necessity are as nothing. As we say in Romans, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the offertory. and beastly, to the for the dominion of the risen Christ, that it would expand to every aspect of our lives and to the ends of the earth, that all may see the fullness of God's glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For boldness from God's Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed in witness, sustained in trial, and refreshed through the means of grace. For those who bring us the Lord's gifts and preach us the word, that they would be blessed in their calling. And for all God's people, that we may receive this Easter faith with willing ears and keep it with willing hearts. Let us pray to the Lord. For our homes, that God would be the companion of those who live alone and fill every household with his wisdom and grace until he guides us to his holy abode, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For preservation from all threats, the Lord would prevent pride, selfish powers, the deceptions of self-sufficiency, and the use of technology without conscience or purpose. And for our president and governor, all elected and appointed public servants, that all who judge or enforce the rule of law, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and those in need, in any need, especially Vicky, Lynn, Anita, Lois, Larry, Lewis, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Doris, Matthew, Megan, Mark, Ethel, Bob, Peter, Fred, Harold, Joan, Greg, Linda, Jaden, Rick, Thorfinn, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, George, Anne, Dawn, and Florence, that the dawning light of the new creation in Christ would sustain them in faith, and that according to God's will, they would be granted renewed health as a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Let us pray to the Lord. For hearts and lives cleansed from the leaven of sin, that we may worthily receive Christ, our Passover Lamb, in this Holy Communion, let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, you have not let your Holy One see corruption, but have raised him in triumph from the dead, never to die again. Therefore, our hearts are glad and we rejoice, for our flesh also dwells secure. Since you have set him at your right hand, lead us to set his resurrection before us at all times, that this path of life and the fullness of joy in his presence may be known to us, until we come also to the eternal pleasures at his right hand forevermore. For you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God, now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Glory, O Savior.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.